You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD. This is what's going on here on the radio. Here at our church, that is Island Community Church, we are in the book of Acts, and we'll be in chapter 19 here this weekend. But we're having an excellent time once again through the book of Revelation. All of these programs are available on demand as well, right here on this radio station, WMIE, and you can either download the app, and I encourage you to download the WMIE app. There's a little link on there for on demand. You can subscribe to this, and if you do, the little email or link will show up right there on your phone. Come 3 minutes after 8 or a few minutes after 6 o'clock in the evening, as this program is rebroadcast from 5:30 to 6. I thank you for joining us here. We're in the book of Revelation. This is part 2 of this sermon. We're inside, we're looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse here today, and we're looking at what happens here on the earth when these four angelic beings get dispatched to planet Earth to carry out God's plan here during the tribulation. And without further ado, let's get right into the word. Good Lord, we've got tomorrow's newspaper delivered today. We're reading everything that's going to happen before it happens. This is like going to the track down here in Hialeah with all 10 winners. Or what was that race that was on yesterday again? Huh? The Breeders' Cup. I mean, this is like going to the Breeders' Cup with win, place, and show of every single solitary race. You've got all the winners right here. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be worried and fret and fear over what's going on here. We've got all the winners. We know more about the Antichrist than he knows about himself. So why worry? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why fret and fear these things? God's in control. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when Jesus is your Savior, you have what the Bible calls, again, the peace that surpasses, meaning it's greater than all your understanding. What he gives you is greater than what you can comprehend. There might be wars all around, but you have peace. You've got something these others don't have. You have peace with God and an inner peace that passes all understanding. A peace that says, bring it on, because God is for me. What can man do to me? God's got your back. He said also to Isaiah, I will be your rear guard. Do you have that kind of peace today? Then don't give it away. If you don't, then get it back before you leave here this morning. I only got you guys 1 hour out of 168. If you've lost your peace, get it back before you leave. In the Lord's verse-by-verse description of end times, we see what happens to all the temporary Christians and fence sitters once they face trouble in the world. The Lord says, then they will deliver you over to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, he said, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. That's Matthew 24, 9 and 10. Now let's read once again what the second rider has been
dispatched. He said, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living being saying, come. And another horse went out, fiery red, and it was granted to him. Again, that's the rider, an angel that you will not be able to see. It was granted to him that sat on it. See, it was not granted to the world leader. It's not granted to the Antichrist. It's not granted to the government. It's granted to the angel that you can't see. So someone is behind the scenes. That's why we can't change any of this, the stuff that's going on. You can't shoot the man. You can't take out the Antichrist and think it's going to end, because it's not coming from here. It's coming from there. It was granted to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth so that they might kill each other. And there was given to him a great sword. Question. By looking around in the United States of America today, could a person say that this has already happened? I would say, sure seems that way, doesn't it? I'm just trying to show you what that's going to look like. Look around. Now, war always follows the removal of peace. This verse has been going through my mind. The Lord says, he says, yet once more I'll shake not only the heavens, but the earth, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And that's what we're seeing here today. God is shaking this world. All of these Jew haters out here today, you see, they've always been here. They've been hidden. There's been dust on them for nigh on year after year after year. But now God says the time is coming, and I believe this time is here, where he's shaking this world. And now all these Jew haters are all coming to light. They're all exposed now for who they are. Haters of Israel. Haters of the nation of Israel. Haters of the Jews. As I've said before, they're infected with the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says it's already in the world. Now you're seeing this thing happen here. Now, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living being say, come, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living beings saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine. So again, God's bodyguard commands this. Not the government, not the Antichrist. It's one of these four beings. One of God's bodyguards is the ones that are initiating this. All right, so the third rider represents number three on this famine. A denarius was a day's wage. A loaf of bread for what you earn in a day. Remember, I've preached this before, church. In desperate times, people will do desperate things, won't they? Look at what happened the last time this kind of thing happened. Let me read this to you out of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25. Listen to these verses here. Now, there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. All right, that's $176. And 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels. All right, so the poop went for 10 bucks. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on one of the walls, the woman cried out to him saying, help! And the king said, if God doesn't help you, how am I going to help you, lady? From the threshing floor, from the wine press. What do you want me to do? There's no water around here. What do you want me to do? I can't help you. I can't make it rain. So then the king said, what's troubling you? And she said, well, this woman over here said to me, give us your son so that we can eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. What do you think, Darlene? You got 2 kids. Sounds like a good deal, huh? Start with the oldest one Monday and see if we're hungry on Wednesday. You wouldn't be hungry on Wednesday, I bet. give us your sons. Remember, in desperate times, people do desperate things. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself and think this wouldn't happen here today. Oh, there we go. We're going back. Hit the rewind button. Oh, is it I? No, you might do that. Maggie might do it, but not me. I'd never do that. Give us your son so that we may eat him, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. Verse 29. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, break out with your son, lady. Give us your son so that we can eat him. But she's hidden her son. Gee, what a smart lady that is, I bet. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. See, the end times famine is going to inspire people, in this case, to take the mark of the beast. That's why my favorite name, we laugh and chuckle about it. For those in Florida understand what this means, when I call the Antichrist the Zephyr Hills Man. Now, for those watching on YouTube, you might not know what Zephyr Hills is. It's a refrigerated water truck that comes in, you see, and it's got sweat on the outside. It's cold. It's beating up because this water, you see, this is what this guy is going to do. In desperate times, people do desperate things. And this man is going to come riding into town, proverbially speaking, in an air-conditioned Zephyr Hills truck, saying, anybody thirsty? And don't say to me, oh, I could never do that. Didn't Peter teach us anything? Oh, you might do that, Ed, but not me. I'd never do that. No, not me. No, 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 I love Jesus too much. I'm too strong. I couldn't. That's a mistake. You got to say, is it I? Is it I? Am I going to do that? Would I do that? Could I do that? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Or I should say, apart from him, you can do all things evil without him. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is what Satan thinks about you. This is what the devil thinks about you until you prove him wrong. That's why when God said to him, hey, devil, have you seen my servant over here, Job? Look at how upright and good this guy is. What did the devil see? He said, skin for skin. He said, all that a man has, or a woman, he will give in exchange for his life. But you take away your protection from this guy, and he'll spit in your eye. And that's what he thinks about you, too. Until you prove him wrong. This is why, church, this is why God makes your life difficult today. Jan? He makes it difficult today so you learn to trust in him when you're going through something. And he'll see you through it, and you will thumb your nose at the devil, and you will learn to trust in God in the face of adversity so that if you're still around for this, you've got some of this on the inside of you. Hupomone, strength, spiritual fortitude that had King David go up to someone 9'7" and say, get out of my face. That comes through trusting in God when you are going through trials in your life. There's no other way to get it. Reading about it, there's no other way to get it. You got to let God see you through when you're sick. When you are undergoing terrible trials, where's that in the Bible? James chapter 1, verse 2, NIV, Mark. It says, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing that, the testing of your faith develops what it takes to get through this and not eat your kid and your friends tomorrow. It's trusting God today. When you run the risk of losing nothing, you lose nothing. If you fail this, you lose nothing. You get down here on your knees, the righteous man picks himself up 7 times. You lose nothing today if you fail this. If you got the vaccine out here because the government forced you to, you failed that test. You failed it. If you got it for health reasons, that's different. If you got it because the government forced you in order to go out here and buy or sell, you failed that test. You can make it right. Today, when you fail it, it costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. You make it right. Trust God. For those that are persevering during this time, the great revelation I've received studying this is I've got some hidden manna for all of you that are going to get out of the boat and trust me. John 12:25 says, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will keep it unto life eternal. Now, as for do not harm the oil and the wine, that's over my pay grade. Sorry. I can't tell you what that means. Sorry. I believe, in my opinion, that's simply the grace of God. The grace of God making provision not to harm these staples, oil and wine. The expression, do not harm the oil and the wine, is difficult. Gee, thank you, Bible knowledge commentary. Some say these were the food of the poor. If they were staple items, then they must be protected in order to preserve life. Warren Wiersbe says food will be so scarce, it'll take a person all day to earn enough wages for just a quart of grain. Question, is there evidence that this has happened today? No way, this hasn't happened yet. You got to take this, remember, over here on this side, you got to take this with Revelation chapter 11, remember? Which says, speaking of the two witnesses, they've got the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. It's 1,260 days with no rain. When you can count here today, what day is today? November the 5th? What year is this? Someone help me. 2024, 2025, 2026, and then May. But could you imagine going until May of 2027 with no rain? Ever been to Publix 48 hours before a hurricane? Good luck with that. You try to get water in Publix 36 hours before a hurricane. Now imagine someone coming riding into town with all the water that you want. You can have all the water you want. You can have all the water you want. All you got to do is just side with me. Right here. You just take this little tattoo right here that says, you belong to me. And take thine ease. That's why we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, when he comes back, Jimmy, it says everyone's going to look up and everyone's going to wail when they see him. They're not going to rejoice, they're going to wail. Because they're going to look down and they're going to see, I guessed wrong. I listened to that man for a glass of water. Instead of not understanding that for all those who overcome, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat that no one knows about. You got to get out of the boat to find that. You don't get it in the boat. You got to get out of the boat. Like Indiana Jones getting to the other side. Only by the leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth. Right? Then he takes that step. Then you see. Then you, once he got out and took that step, then you see the little thing that connects over to the other side. You're not going to see it until you get out. You're not going to see it until you get out. Last up, this last horseman, verse 7. Now when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living being saying, come, Erku. Behold, a pale horse, and he who sat on it was named Death. Ah, that's funny. That's where that movie comes from. Death rides a horse. A pale horse. Greek word is chloros, like chloroform. It means a sickly green. That's what that means. So behold, a sickly green horse. Sort of like if you've been on Captain Jim's boat when he's got 8-foot waves every 3 seconds. You look like this horse. Give me some Dramamine, Captain. And Hades was following him. Some translations say hell. And authority was given to him. From whom? From God, not from anyone here. From God. The authority was given to this guy from above, not from anyone here. Oh, you might think it's someone here. You might think, Mr. Big Commander, it can't. No, this didn't come from you. This came from him. God is sovereign, large and in charge. Everything is working according to his plan. Authority was given to him from above. You might think you have the authority, but you don't. It's been given to you. Isn't that what the Lord said to Pontius Pilate? The same thing? He said, you wouldn't have this authority unless it was given to you, he told him. Okay, he who sat on it was named Death, and Hades was following him. And authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with death by the wild beasts of the earth. Even the squirrels are going to turn against you. Angry squirrel. Death. Notice that heaven doesn't follow him. Hell follows him. Like a faithful dog. Hell personified seems to clean up after this rider and sweep away all that he kills like some supernatural Ramba vacuum cleaner. Is hell following this guy around, cleaning up everything after him. Hell, and just we read in Proverbs 27:20. It says, hell and destruction are never satisfied. I once heard it said, every time there's an earthquake, it's because hell is expanding, making more room. It seems from this text, the supernatural rider called Death will be responsible for the deaths of 25% of everyone on planet Earth. Now, let me leave you with this, church. This is not your destiny. This is for unbelievers, not for you. This is not your destiny. God said to Moses during the last tribulation that we had, when God was the one responsible for tribulation, when the judgments of God were falling down, God said there, next up on that list, Exodus 8:22, he said, in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. And then he said this, I will make a distinction between my people, and speaking of Pharaoh, between my people and his people. Even if you're here at this time, God has promised not to slay the righteous with the wicked. He's not going to treat you the same way he's going to treat those that have rejected his son. I will make a distinction. Write that down. Exodus 8:23. God is not going to treat you the same way he's going to treat unbelievers. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. God will not, neither is it part of his plan to treat you the same way as all of these God haters out here in the world who have rejected his son. Death rides a horse is not your destiny, church. But I leave you with this promise, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your destiny. I guess I need to read this again. God, let's change the pronouns. God did not appoint you to wrath. The tribulation and the wrath of God is not for you. It's for unbelievers that have rejected his son. It's not for you. This is not your future. Your future is the peace that passes all understanding while you're here. And then when you're not here, eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor have you even thunk it. That which God has prepared for those that love. That's your destiny. Not the wrath of God's not your destiny. These last couple verses the Lord gave me this morning. Luke, Genesis, and 1 Thessalonians. Luke 21:36, Jesus says, pray you be counted worthy to escape all of these things. There's only one way to be counted worthy, and that is to receive Jesus Christ. And you have his worthiness imparted into you, unto you, in you, so that when God looks at you, he sees his son. Amen. That's the only way. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing there's no work that we can do to have God accept us. It's the work that he did to have God accept us. So pray you be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are going on. Also, second verse the Lord gave me studying for this morning is Genesis 18:23. We're going to eavesdrop in on a conversation Abraham had with God when God, in the form of an angel, stood before him right before God destroyed Sodom. Abraham said this to God. The question still rings out today. He says this, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Then he said, "Far be it from you to do this, to slay the righteous with the wicked." Then he says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" That promise still stands today. God said, if they find 10 righteous people in this town, I won't destroy this for the sake of the righteous that are there. He'll either protect the righteous in the midst of adversity or what we read 2 weeks ago, right? And that is, for all of you who overcome, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. So if you are a Christ follower, if you are not, I didn't say Christian. Lots of people say that they're Christians. But when it gets hot in the kitchen, according to the Son of God, Matthew 24, verses 9 through 12, according to the Son of God, some people say that they're Christians, but when it gets hot in the kitchen, they're going to fall away. Paul wrote the same thing. The Spirit says explicitly that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So again, if you are a Christ follower, you will not suffer the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christ follower, that's your destiny. The wrath of the tribulation is not for you. For the Christians that are here that put their trust in him, what he did back in Exodus 8:22, he will do again. If not, the promise still stands that for everyone who overcomes, I will keep you out of this hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. So let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.